So this is pretty awesome. Did you guys know you can fill out a tournament bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tournament. Might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Use the code R2C2 to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. That's code R2C2 to enter the bracket battle for free only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We are back. A brand new episode of R2C2. We told you, start of the 2019 season means R2C2 is back every Thursday, although this week it's a special Wednesday edition. But normally, every Thursday, it's just a special Wednesday edition. You get your R2C2 a day early this week. And we are so pumped about this guest, Adam Ottavino. Brand new reliever for the Yankees, New York guy who has filthy stuff. And I think you're going to find him incredibly interesting. He reminds me a little bit of Andrew Miller in the way he breaks things down and processes them and just how intelligent he is. Plus, CeCe and I finally found a fellow Star Wars fan who we can chat about. And Adam may know more Star Wars than even C and I do. So we absolutely love this conversation. We hope you do as well. Here is Adam Ottavino on R2C.
Yeah. Wait, so you guys have history, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you remember this?
I don't, but I talked about it. I was trying to rack my brain. I mean, everything that he told me about it seems plausible.
See, checks out. Feels like it would be permissible
in court. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Like, obviously, how many current major leaguers did I face throughout my career, which ended with, you know, wooden bat league post high school? Obviously not that many, right? So when you signed, of course I was like, oh, I have to tweet out this story. And I had said it once on the podcast, I'll say it again now for our audience who is just listening for the first time. When I was a junior in high school, we played a tournament at Poly Prep in Brooklyn. We faced a team called Berkeley Carroll, which is a school in Staten Island that Adam went to.
It's in Brooklyn.
It's in Brooklyn. Excuse me. A school for Brooklyn.
See, the story's already fucked up,
oh,
bro.
Oh, man. See, I'm discrediting the witness.
We are small school.
Okay,
but,
yeah. There you go. All right. Yeah. Berkeley Carroll, a school from Brooklyn, right?
Yes.
We played. It was the only time we ever played them. And that day, like, you know how, like, when you're in high school, you don't necessarily know that much about all your opponents, and then you start to hear some things leading up, and, like, we start hearing, like, yo, the dude who's pitching for them is, like, filthy. And we're like, what? I had never seen 90 before. And Adam's throwing, like, his warm-ups, and I'm like, what? And he was throwing at the time, like, I don't know, 92, 93, something like that.
Maybe 90. I don't know.
You were throwing heat, though. And I faced Adam, one at bat that day. I remember I had one strike on me, and shortly after I had a second strike on me when I saw the nastiest slider I had ever seen. Like, you just didn't see, like, breaking stuff like that. It was, like, 85 miles an hour and looked like it was going to hit me. And then I felt like I accomplished something when I, on the next pitch, popped out to shallow center field. Yeah. It was really, like, right behind second base, but it made the grass, so we'll call it center field.
You did, though.
I need video or, like, a fucking scorecard or something. Like, I need something, some kind of proof.
Some video proof. But you know what's funny? Like, I tweeted out just as, like, a, hey, you know, funny story, whatever. And, like, I get all these – this is where you said don't listen to them. I got all the trolls, like, oh, you're trying to flex. I'm like, trying to flex? I popped out. Like, what are you talking about? I'm sharing a story of commonality. That's it. But anyway, so Adam and I have been best friends since we're 10, and it's good to have him here. It's great to be here.
You know, what's funny about that is that when you're young, you don't – I'm not aware that other people know who I am or anything at the time. Yeah. I was just, like – I didn't think I was, like, a big deal or anything in high school – In fact, I was like so worried that nobody would ever know that I was pretty good at baseball. So it's funny to think that there was guys on the other team that were like, hey, this guy.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of funny.
That's good, right? Yeah.
Like, yo, this dude's nasty. And then I remember when you got picked in the first round by St. Louis, mm-hmm. right? I remember being like, oh, yo, that's that kid we fit. That's crazy. Like, yeah. we faced a first rounder. Nice,
that's
man.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was sick. You were filthy in high school, though, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
So how is the acclimation to Yankee Land been for you so far?
I feel good. You know, it's like being the new kid in school, I think, at the beginning. And I'm pretty quiet until I get to know people. But here, it's been pretty easy, honestly. Outside of getting used to the media stuff and switching up some stuff like that we do, like, with the family, like, you know, like... being here as opposed to Arizona and stuff, it's been mm-hmm. fine. It's been fine.
See, what would be your biggest media advice for Adam in his first year playing in New York?
Man, it's just to deal with it. Like, it's there. Like, it's, you know, it's going to be there. There's nothing you can really do. And just answer the questions, man. And try to be respectful as possible and be as honest as possible. And everything will go good if you just do that. And be there every day. That's the biggest thing. If you have a good game, bad game, whatever, just be there every day.
Yeah.
Is that, how hard is it, you both can answer this, to sit in front of your locker and answer questions when you've had a bad day, when you've blown a game, when you've gotten shelled, whatever it is?
I'm going to be honest about it. I usually want to talk about it, so yeah. I'd rather get it over with real quick and tell everybody out there, like, I blew it, I let the team down, I feel shitty about it, it's awful feeling. And I just want to, like, let everybody know that I'm fucking sorry, basically.
So. And that's the great way to be. And that's how I feel, too. It's, like, embarrassing.
Yeah.
You feel embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, it especially, like, sometimes, like, if, as a starter, like, if I go, like, 3 or 4 innings and I got to wait,
oh,
like, 5
yeah.
innings. And then, like, so I'm pissed. And then I kind of calm down. And then I got to get, like, I talk about it again. You know what I'm saying? Like. It just is hard, and then that's why you see the Andrew Hernandez shit sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I go off on rants because I'm still fucking pissed and I can't calm myself down.
I wonder when you're going to see him for the first time this season, man.
I'm not worried about that.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I was explaining this the other day, like, to somebody talking about, like, C's new job in the media and that, and, like, why it'll be good. And I was like, you know, one thing about C that's good is, like, he really will say whatever he believes to your face and, like, not feel some way about it. Like,
I think that's the best way to be, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. Just let people know how you feel. I wish people were like that with me more often.
Yeah.
Just let me know where you stand and we good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cool.
That would be a good way. But, like, I do think there is, right, there's value. And if you're going to, like, in your new ESPN gig, if you're going to be like, hey, you know, Kyrie needs to stop putting down his younger teammates or whatever. You'd be like, yeah, I said it. What, Kyrie? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you wouldn't be like, oh, yo, I didn't mean it. You know what I mean?
Nah, you'd own it.
You would own it. So
that helps a little bit when you're not playing anymore, or you're not playing with them, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not the same league, and I ain't got to see them.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you see all the different internet, like, you know, GIFs or GIFs, whatever the proper pronunciation is, and memes that go around of your slider and your stuff, like, because that's become a thing over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it a lot last year with the Pitching Ninja and all that stuff. It's cool. I mean, but I try really hard not to go on social media after I pitch, no matter what, because if I'm addicted to going on it when I'm doing good and trying to feel myself, then like, it's a trap, because then you'll go on it when you pitch bad and people are killing you.
Yeah.
So I try to just stay away from it at all. I'm allowed to be excited about how I threw till the night's over, and then the next day, get ready for the next game.
I'm the same way. I won't go on social media until the next day. Like, good or bad. Like, just because, like, the same way. Whether I, like, if I pitch bad, like, I don't, you know, I don't want to be reading the comments. And same thing. If I pitch good, I don't want to be feeling myself. So, you know, I don't really like to look at stuff until after, like, the next day.
It's a good policy, you know.
It
allows you to be a little more present, right? Actually, because you could feel like some, you know, way emotionally about your performance, and then you just read one thing and it, like, throws off your mood, and it's like, ugh, that wasn't worth it.
Man, it was this one lady on Twitter like she would just get under my skin. And, like, I would be pitching for her. Like, I would be out there, like, how's she going to respond today? You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, she was really fucking me up. Like, I had to block her, bro. It was, like, it was bad. I'd be like, I wonder if she's going to like this pitch. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That's amazing. Do you remember her handle?
I ain't gonna say it on here because then people are gonna kill it. But yeah, I'll tell you after.
Okay, great.
I still remember her handle for sure.
I'm gonna get a burner account. Start sending her some stuff.
Yeah, but for me, the negative is awful. I don't like it. But the positive is dangerous because if you're too confident, you're gonna get knocked down a lot quicker.
Yeah,
you're gonna go out there without the same edge, and that for me has been like a struggle. Like I'm always trying to get on a run, which I call it a burner in the bullpen. Like one game, two games, three games, four games, five games, and just try to take it as long as possible, like where you're pitching really, really well. And if I start to like realize, oh man, I got this. This game's easy. It's not easy, and it's going to get you really quick. So that's what I'm so afraid of all the time, and try to remind myself like each day's a new day.
And I think that's why baseball players are so humble. And you don't see like baseball players like some of the other shit that you see, like antics in other sports, you don't see with baseball because it is a humbling sport and you have to play it every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have a good night, whatever. You got to come back and do it again the next day and the next day and the next day. You know what I'm saying? So you have to stay humble and kind of stay within yourself.
I cannot imagine. As you say that, it's exactly what I was thinking just about when you're talking about having to answer questions after a loss. Like, I can't imagine being involved in something in my professional life where I know I'm going to fail a certain amount of times, right? Yeah. No matter how great you are, like, you will, like, you are going to lose a game at some point. You're going to lose, you know, you're going to give up multiple runs. You're going to give up multiple hits. And then, like, and then you're going to have to answer for it. Like, that is different than most jobs. It just is. Like, it a lot, if I go on the air, like, and I feel bad about, you know, 20% of my broadcast, that means I'm awful. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't fathom being in a world, never mind if you're a hitter, right? And you're only succeeding 30% of the time and you're great or whatever it might be. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
To be honest, that dynamic really was a big part of the reason why I think I struggled as a starting pitcher, because if you have a bad start, you got to sit on that thing for 4 days, maybe five if you have an off day. You don't have, like, as a relief pitcher, I think I'm going to get in there the next day and redeem myself, and it's very motivating in that way. I used to have to sit on those losses, and say you lose like two or three starts in a row, man, now I'm like kind of been depressed for half a month. That's not good. Yeah. So for my personality, I just want to get back in there and you know, keep it going.
You know what sucks as a starter too? Like, if you lose a couple in a row, you lose two or three in a row, and then you have a decent start, but then you get a no decision, then you lose the next one.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Man.
And it's like, it's like five starts in a row, but then you're like, well, wait, no, I had that one in there where, like, I pitched pretty good. We probably could have won that game. Like, it's tough as a starter, man.
Yeah.
It's mentally tough. It's hard.
Andy Pettit used to talk about personality wins,
mm-hmm.
where he'd be like, you know, at some point, because even if you're pitching all right, if it's like it's turned into a no decision or a loss, where sometimes you just need a win, like, just for your
– Yourself.
Yeah, for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Just to be able to, like, exhale a little bit.
Yep.
Adam, how did you develop this filthy slider?
To be honest, I always threw curveballs, like, from a young age. We never really believed in the whole don't throw your breaking ball till you're older thing. My dad's theory on it was, well, if you want to be any good, you better have a good breaking ball. So, and what are you saving your arm for? Like, if you're saving your arm and you don't have a breaking ball, then you're not going to play at the higher level. And, like, what's the point? So we just wanted to go for it from the beginning. So I always had a curveball, and it was really big. And when I was in college, actually a catcher who played at my college, played in the big leagues a little bit, Luke Carlin, showed me how to throw, like, a cutter. So I worked on the cutter, and I had both in college. And then when I got into pro ball, when I got to double A, my curveball was, like, big, but nobody was swinging at it when it was a ball, and they were hitting it when it was a strike, I think because it had a big hump, like, upward out of my hand. So then I started talking with the hitters on my team that I was close with, like John Jay and Alan Craig in particular, both, like, pretty good big league guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, it's just, like, you can see it out of your hand, I think. You need something that comes a little more, like, that we have to respect that it's going to be a strike longer. So I took the idea of how to spin the curveball from the beginning and just kind of took that into that cutter grip and altered it a little, so it was basically, like, a sideways-ish curveball. And it just started working, and then I just started kept going, and so I really think it spurred from the curveball, but with a little bit of advice, it was able to turn into something a little more unique.
That's so fascinating. So do you not even really look at it as a slider then?
I just think of it as like a breaking ball, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. that way I don't have to keep it in one little category. I can throw it with a little more down, a little more left, and be creative with it. That's how I try to think about it.
Awesome. And most people with different with breaking balls, you know, like my slider, I think it's a cutter. You know what I'm saying? Like in Paxton, with his slider, he thinks it's a cutter. So you have to think different things to make, you know, to make the pitch.
And it's got to be funny too, then, when you hear other people like identifying your pitches, something like, "Oh yeah, you're this," like very knowingly, and it's like "Well, no, that's not really what it really is." Yeah.
And it's never that. And you can never really get into a pitcher's head and what he calls his pitch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
There's a lot of gray area in pitches. I mean, you know, curve, slurve, slider, cutter, like they're all related. It's just like to what extent. So everybody's got their own DNA in their in the way they spin the ball. And that's why I don't try to get too caught up in the label of it, you know.
What has been the interaction like so far between you and Dellen and Aroldis and Zach? I mean, it's, you know, throw Chad Green.
Oh, my God. Like you just named four closers, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that bullpen really is, I mean, it's ridiculous. Throw in Chad Green and Tommy Canley comes back and does what he did a couple years ago, Holder. Right. I mean, it's – but I'm gonna single – in all due respect to those guys, I'm going to single out you four because you guys all have closed at a certain point in time and you've stacked a lot of seasons together of great work. What has been the interactions like? Do you guys sit around and all talk about, yo, this could be – we could be
– No, definitely not. I mean, for me, those guys have been awesome for a long time without me around, so I'm just trying to let them pitch the way they pitch and try to watch it and be impressed by it because they're freaks, and then I just stay focused on my game. I don't want to be – do. I can't do what Aroldis does. I can't do what Dellen does at all. That's not my game. I have to be me. And I've learned over the years that if I focus on me, that's the best way to help the team because I'll get the most out of myself and then the team will benefit in the win column. If I'm worried about like living up to the whole hype of everything, then that's too much for me to focus on.
I think just watching him in like the couple weeks we've been here, he's going to be awesome for Dellen. Mm. You know, like D likes to talk through things and like figure out his curveball, his breaking ball, and just, you know, and these guys are very similar in the way that, you know, they pitch in the back end of the games and done it for a long time. So I think their relationship's going to be awesome.
If I do talk about stuff, it's always like what I see in the hitters or maybe some mental cues because for me, the game is just so mental. Like stuff-wise, we're all going to be different, but I've picked things up, mental things from veterans throughout my career that have really helped me. So if I can share that information with anybody and make them a little better, that's probably the only coaching I'll do.
Adam, when it comes to, like, have you taken a moment at all to think about what it's going to be like to, like, run out of the bullpen at Yankee Stadium in a big game and what that's going to feel like as a dude who grew up in New York?
Have you pitched there yet?
No, never, no.
As a visitor, wow. Never? Oh, wow.
When the team came, I was on my Tommy John rehab, so wasn't there for that. I pitched against the Yankees in Colorado a long time ago, but no.
Wow,
but
of course
I've thought about it. I mean, I love the adrenaline. I thrive on that stuff, so I've of course played it over my head a bunch of times, but so the first time will be probably a little bit heightened. But I'm counting on to be heightened a lot cuz I like that stuff.
Yeah. Is it for you? You know, in Colorado, you're closing, right? Like here, or you're
both. Yeah, I've done it all.
You've done it all, right? But here, you know, like, all right, you guys know Chapman's going to close, but any of you other three could kind of be used anywhere. Like, I mean, you could be used as an exterminator, if you will, maybe in a third or fourth inning, or you could be used in the eighth inning. Like, how will that kind of shape your mindset? Is that difficult to deal with at all?
Not for me. I mean, I came here to win, so we got a 100-win team. If I was interested in closing, I could have done some other stuff.
Yeah.
But you want to join something that's bigger than yourself and something that's awesome. And Booney seems already like he's doing a good job of communicating. That's the biggest key. If I know what's expected, what the possibilities are of me pitching on a given game and a given night, then I can get ready accordingly.
You're going to be excited to run the ball over these guys at the end of your starts, man.
Yeah, I used to be able to, like, I used to want to go six, it's like seven or eight. Now it's like five or six.
Yeah, exactly. And you're good, man. And you're good. It was interesting, too, just hearing, like, Adam and Dellen the other day talking, like, because obviously Dellen's a New Yorker as well. Like, so many, like, shared fields that you guys both played on, like, growing up as well. And, like,
yeah, because D played in Brooklyn, too, right? Yeah,
man. Yeah. And thinking about, like, fields that don't have fences and stuff we're talking about, which like that was like that was
we don't have those in Cali, bro.
All our fields got fences
in Cali.
You had these perfectly manicured fields in California. I know, man. Like in New York, more fields than not, were like, you know, no fans.
Yeah, like the Central Park fields.
Yeah,
y'all played at those fields.
I have played there. I played in Prospect Park, which is like the Brooklyn equivalent of that. Okay. That's literally where our high school played. You hit a ball in the gap, it could roll 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
The mound is more uphill than downhill.
It never stops.
And you got to wear a mouthpiece if you play the infield because you don't know where the hops go.
Where the hops go.
We took pride in it. I mean, we felt like if we could play there, we could play anywhere, man.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Now, you were at David Wells' perfect game, right?
I was actually at Dwight Gooden's no-hitter.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's the one I was at. Yeah.
All right. How old were you then? Like 11?
It's hard to remember.
It was 96.
96.
Okay, yeah. So then I would have been 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember that it was actually because we showed up to an opening day that year that was like a snow game. And they gave, because we showed up, the Yankees gave like tickets to a game down the line. Mm. And it ended up being that game.
Oh, that's great.
Sick. Yeah.
Crazy, yeah. And like, I just remember it was awesome. I loved Griffey too. So going to that game was like everything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this guy throws a no-hitter. It's like unbelievable to be in the yard on a night like that.
I couldn't imagine being there. Like, I've never seen a no-hitter.
Really?
No, I've never been.
Really?
Wow.
I've never seen, been a part of anything. So, like, that would have been cool to, like, be, to see it.
I pitched in Kershaw's no-hitter.
Did you?
The inning right before he finished it. I remember, like, I was like, should I go in and do my arm stuff? Nah, I'm going to watch this. Yeah. You could just feel it coming. I was like, he's getting it.
What's the reaction like from your family about you being a Yankee?
Everybody's super excited. They know what it means to me, so
yeah.
That's the biggest thing, and just excited. But they, I think, a little bit of like, how did this happen? You know,
yeah.
Type of thing.
I have to say, we're pretty excited to tell you about this. Did you guys know that you can fill out a tournament bracket at DraftKings this year? Yeah, that's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tournament, so you might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. For the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes. If you're like CeCe, you're going to root for Duke because you're a front runner and you always want the best team to win with the biggest stars, and you hope they'll make it to the Final Four and win it all. You know how brackets work. Before tip-off of the first game of the tournament, just pick the winner of every game, every round. That's all there is to it. And the best part is you can play for free with the code R2C2. You can even set up a private group for you and your friends and compete for bragging rights. So download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Make sure you use the code R2C2 to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. That's code R2C2 to enter the bracket battle for free. Only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're a Star Wars guy, right?
I am, big time. Yeah,
see, we finally found one.
We found a Star Wars guy.
Took us two freaking years to find to find someone else we could chat Star Wars with.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that the new Star Wars lands are going to be opening earlier than expected?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. I was just there. So, you know, I went to Disney with the family.
Yeah,
I took pictures and stuff.
Did you get a sneak peek?
Got a little sneak peek on the ride, yeah. So
How does it look? It looks sick. Yeah?
I'm excited, man.
Oh,
like, they said everything in there is like it's going to be separate from Disney World. So
really?
It'll be like you're in Star Wars, like everybody's in character, like all the vendors, like everything. It's gonna be sick. I can't wait to stay in the hotel and shit. Like,
oh yeah, man.
I'm doing it all, bro.
Now,
I'm doing it all.
I'm imagining that the like wait times for all this stuff is gonna be crazy. You have a hookup there, don't you see?
We'll see.
No, man, I'm just saying the wait times
are gonna be insane for everything.
Because I know what they are for Avatar right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, and those, they did such a good job with those rides though.
Yeah.
The Avatar rides
are unbelievable.
So I'm excited.
They had said that the one in LA, the Star Wars land in LA, would probably open in at some point in summer, and that the one in Orlando at Disney World would open in
the fall, right?
But yeah. Instead, the one in L.A. is going to open May 31st, and the one in Orlando is going to open on August 31st.
Nice.
So it's coming early, man. You guys need like a trip to Tampa.
It's no
Tampa
movie this
September.
Year, right?
Is December.
In December?
December. December, okay. We get episode 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, how have you felt about the new movies over the last couple of years?
Yeah, so I go on opening night every time, yeah. And every time I leave the theater, like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then over time, I sour on them a little bit, to be honest, just because I'm such a, I like the originals so mm-hmm. much, and I start to pick them apart. And then I try to tell myself, like, no, it's just enjoyment. Just enjoy it. Don't get caught up and all that. But I'm very curious for 9. There were some really cool parts in 8, so I thought, you know, it was cool.
Yeah, I know. I love the throne room scene. Yeah, 8. Yes. Oh, my gosh, that was sick.
Yeah, that was sick.
And I love
even Luke at the end, though.
That was sick. That was sick, too.
So dope.
I loved it, man. And I thought it was, like, to me, that was the perfect way for him to go, and I liked it. The only thing I thought was a little weird was the way they did the casino scene, because it felt like to me like they couldn't quite figure out how to make Finn build off of him being a hero in episode 7, you know? But like,
yeah. No, but that was a perfect way for him to go.
Everybody's been,
you know, worried about Luke and all this shit. Yeah. Like, now we can move on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got a little closure.
That's how I felt, too. And his legend, right? He talked about, like, I don't want to be a legend. That's the way you become a legend. You see the little kids then at the end, like, talking about him taking on the whole army because he was able to do that, you know? Like, is there anything you want? Well, first of all, do you read rumors and stuff like that?
I try to stay away.
Me, too.
My best friend, Jared, he's on everything.
Oh, man.
So it's tough because he'll try to let me know about stuff, but I try to not. Honestly, I don't want to know. It's the same with the Game of Thrones. I was about to say, so you Game of Thrones too, right? Didn't watch the trailer. I'm not watching it.
I don't want to see the trailer. Everybody's been sending me the trailer.
I sent it to the group chat.
I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see any of it.
I just want to come on. I already know we're gonna be at home. I got my theater set. Like, we're at home that night. So.
Oh, it's perfect.
I'm excited.
You already looked it up.
That is great.
I'm a big looker up in the shit. Something comes out or something, like, I look to see where we are. If we can watch this fight or do this or go there, I'm always looking ahead.
Yeah. And we get to Adam's going to be like our guy, man. Game of Thrones and Star Wars.
And Man U.
Huge Man U guy. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You got to get Adam's locker next to you, man.
I got to take Dylan out of there.
So I'm going to take you back to Star Wars for a second.
Yeah.
What do you hope happens in episode 9? Do you have any hopes?
I'm trying to stay clear of the hopes. I just want a little more clarity on Rey's situation, and I don't know how they're going to be able to put a good bow on it, but I still want to be able to talk about, like, you know, like at the end of Sopranos, how they left it very open-ended?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that with Star Wars, because if it's so definitive, then I'm going to pick it apart, too. I'm just going to. I'd rather it be a little open-ended so that there's always more to, like, kind of think about.
I'm good with that too. I would like that, like, to for us to be able to discuss more shit and, like, have different theories and you know, and I'm sure they're gonna go more on the character, you know, like how they do, like, Solo and different
different
movies like that. So if they left 9 kind of open-ended, I wouldn't be mad.
I liked Solo.
I love Solo.
I really enjoyed Solo. What'd you think?
I hated it.
Oh, no, man.
It killed me.
Yeah.
Han Solo is my favorite character man.
You just thought it was corny?
Did not like the kid who did it?
He was all right. Yeah. I don't know. The story, I was just like, they're just trying way too hard. I mean, me and my friend Jared, like I've talked about, we knew, like, so they're going to build this whole movie about this one line about the Kessel Run. We just knew the whole movie before it happened. And then there was some parts at the beginning, like with the love and like at the airport or whatever it was when like she couldn't come and then later. And I'm just like,
yeah, I mean, she was cold, too, huh?
Like,
yeah. I know. You know what? In general, though, when it comes to that stuff, I'm cool with it if she's cute. You know? And like,
you just like Emily Clark,
yeah,
bro.
I do.
That's all that is. You can't be mad at her.
I do. I can't be mad at her. Yeah. Like, she's adorable, man. Like, so I'm like, I was all right with it. See, now, I thought it was really fun.
It was fun.
It didn't feel as epic, maybe, as like
no,
the
I mean,
saga.
It was just, but it wasn't supposed to be. Yeah. I didn't feel like. Yeah. You know, it wasn't supposed to be as big as the other movies, but it's just something for us to watch as fans, you know?
I really appreciated Rogue One. Like, I appreciated it a lot. And that was kind of similar in that way as kind of a spin-off prequel type thing, but And I know they're going to do more of these, and that's fine and good and well. But you're right. To me, it didn't feel as grand as normal Star Wars.
Yeah. Rogue One is unbelievable.
Yeah, Rogue One was really good.
And the Vader scene at the end of Rogue One is one of my favorite things ever.
Just cutting people
down.
Yeah,
exactly. Just seeing him just... So what's your... Is Empire,
Empire
your favorite?
Empire, yeah.
Your favorite of all time. What's your favorite, see, of
Return
all time?
Of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, yeah. So mine always is Return of the Jedi as well, because my favorite scene in the entire saga is... Luke and Vader, when Luke goes to like turn himself over, and like he tries to tell like Vader for the first time, like, I sense the conflict.
Oh, yeah.
You. And at the end of that, and Vader then like gives him up, whatever, and Vader's left alone, and he like kind of like leans on the banister, like, and it's the first time you kind of see Vader break a little bit, and you're like, oh, wait, no, like. Because up until that point, like,
he
was just
human.
Evil.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like,
or not human. Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, right, exactly. Yeah. Well, honestly, when I first saw Star Wars, I didn't know if it was a human in there, if it was, like, some kind of alien or whatever. That's the first moment where I was like, oh, wait, no, he's right. Like, there's something going on inside that dude. Like, that's his son, and he feels it. Like, so that's always why I lean Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
I love Return of the Jedi, because at that point in the series, like... You already know about Luke being a Jedi, and like that magic is happening in that first scene. He goes to Jabba's thing and has the hood on, and then you're just like super excited about it. Like, damn, this is like
he's a beast.
You're about to see something crazy. Yeah, he's a beast. That's how you feel for sure. That's perfect.
It really is. What is there? If you could pick one character for them to do a one-off about moving forward, who would you guys want?
What's the guy that Danny Glover played?
Oh, Lando.
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 Want to do a Lando?
Yeah, I would
they
like
might, because he was great.
I want Boba Fett, because he's such like a cult like figure, but he's barely in anything. So I want to know his backstory and how like savage he was, because you could just tell with that spaceship and the helmet and all that. It looks sick.
Yeah, they will get like diehard fans will be totally into Boba Fett. Like, they will love that.
Yeah.
Because, like, he is a dude who, like, in the extended universe had, like, a lot of
Yeah, but you're
following.
Right. He's not in a lot of it. Yeah.
He's
not in
the movies, he's, like, right, barely like, in barely it, in it. Like, his dad gets more play in the prequels.
Yeah, Jango Fett.
Than he does. By the way, I always contend, I think episode 3 is terrific. And I feel like the score from episode 3, like, sometimes I'll just put that on my like when I'm working out, man. I love the soundtrack to it, man. It's like, yeah, no, hardcore, man. Hardcore.
What if they did a Yoda spinoff? That'd be sick.
That's
too.
What I want. That's
the
one
that'd
I
be
want
cool. That'd be cool.
Like, that'd be really cool.
Like, how did he become this crazy Jedi master? Plus, like, the stuff, in all seriousness, like his like axioms about like how you use your mind and that, they're totally relevant and applicable to any buddy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I would love to know where that wisdom comes from. Like, many a time I think of a Yoda quote.
I've dropped some Yoda quotes in school.
Like,
back in the day at Berkeley Carroll, like talking about a book or something, and then like some sort of mentality, and I'd be like, yeah, it's like in Star Wars, you know, like when Yoda, you know, there is no try, you know. Like, couple people would get it.
Right?
The rest of the people are looking at me all crazy.
Can you got to promise us at some point this year during a post game interview you drop a Star Wars quote?
Sure, I'll do my best.
So you just gotta like see if anyone notices, you know, just like,
because I feel like Star Wars is like, it was like a big thing like in the 80s, obviously, when I was a kid, and then it kind of fell off when the movies weren't out, and then they put the episode 1 out again, and then it kind of got big again, so it was like a gap in between, like when you were in high school, where people were like, what the fuck is he talking about? Fucking Star Wars quotes, like, you know what I mean? Like,
there was the re-releases are I feel like the re-releases that happened right before episode 1 is where it's like all of a sudden people are like, oh, okay, this is back, you know?
Yeah.
And now you see it with Next Generation with these episodes, right? Like, I mean, now you see it with that. How about Game of Thrones? Like, have you thought about what you want to happen? Or no, you're just enjoying the ride.
I thought a lot about what could happen, but I don't want to – I don't have an opinion really on what should happen. I think everybody's just going to die. I think the bad guys are going to win. Like, dead armies
think the
coming
bad guys
in and
win?
Wiping everybody out.
But I think, like, and somebody said this to me, what if the White Walkers aren't the bad guys? What if they're supposed to win? You know what I'm saying?
I haven't
thought
about
think
that.
About that. Like, somebody said that to me. What if they're supposed to win? Like, what if we're rooting for the wrong people? Because all these people we're rooting for are fucked up.
That's true, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
So, you know. Yeah.
It bums me out a little because the dude didn't really finish the book. Like, I want to know what really happened.
He never finished. But HBO said early that they were going to go away from the books because they knew he wasn't going to finish and they were going to do their own thing.
Is he still going to write?
He's still going to be trying to finish them, yeah.
But
yeah.
he's consulting with them still on what they're doing.
Yeah,
right?
He is. Yeah.
So that at least helps a little bit. It's crazy, though. Yeah. Like, I just the other day, I went back and started rewatching season one. Like, and I'm like, this show is so good, man.
Yeah,
so
from the beginning, it is. It just shot so well. The acting and just the storylines and shit. Like, it's gonna be fun. I'm excited. I'm sad for it to go off, but I'm excited for what's to come. Like these last couple episodes,
we're gonna get six great Sundays for it. You know, like
yeah, I know.
And then it's gonna be over. Are you big like during the season watching shows?
Yeah,
yeah. You know, this is the man right here.
The show guru.
Yeah, he's the show guru. Yeah,
yeah. This might be the last show that everybody will be watching around the same time, coming in and talking about it the next day. That maybe
I hope not. I hope not, though. Like, it's got to be something else. You know what I'm saying?
With the binging?
Yeah, that's binging. True. Like, that would be sad because there is something fun about, like, yo, did you see that episode last night?
Yeah. Like, right when the show ends, texting your boys, like, did you see that?
Oh, no, it is. It's like, it is one of those rare shows.
HBO will keep it up, though. You know, like, they got True Detective, and, you know, they always have different shit. So, and they have a show about this podcast I watched. About this guy that is in jail now.
The serial one.
Yeah, the serial. They're doing a show about.
Yeah, it's like a follow up to the podcast.
To the podcast. So it's like, so they'll always have, you know, HBO will always keep us up. But like with Netflix and shit, we'll, you know, trying to watch stuff is be tough.
What about, like, so Adam, like, if for Yankee fans getting to know you, like, you, when you're away from the field, like, what are you? We know you know your Star Wars now, and you're into Game of Thrones and that. What's like an ideal day for you when you're not at the ballpark?
Well, if we're at home, obviously just doing stuff with the family, whatever the kids want to get into, then that's where I'm happy. If away from the field, I like to explore where I'm at. Like, I always take a lot of pictures and stuff like that. Try to remember the travels, get a really good dinner. And then just settle in and watch some good content and hang out. That's it.
That's good, man. You're gonna have to compare restaurant notes then.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably didn't get to go to Kansas City a lot then.
I've been there twice.
Okay, all right. That's C's favorite food spot.
I got some good spots there. But I just got speaking of camera, I got Amber to send my camera down because I want to start taking pictures. Dee Dee takes pictures all over everywhere. Yeah. He's like great at it, so I'm gonna have him teach me how to do it, man. So I'll get into it once I retire,
like a final season documentation.
Yeah, just me taking pictures and plus, like, with my son starting to play, like, I want to be able to take some nice pictures of him and stuff when I start traveling with him.
That's awesome, man. Well, I know you guys have a meeting. Adam, we're clearly going to do this again because we need to dive in more. You're outstanding. Excited to see you deal and glad that I don't have to face you anymore.
Shit, you struck out in softball, bro.
Oh my gosh. No, I've never struck out in softball. I've never struck out. They ripped me because it was like a softly pop out.
Yeah, soft, really very soft.
You know what? This is
very soft pop out.
This is very selective. You could take the one at bat where I happen to pop out softly.
Very softly.
Every other
I've
hit.
Never seen anybody pop out that softly in a softball game.
my retort, though, was like, you missed the ball I ripped just foul before that. And C's like, you talk about a foul ball, guys. Getting on me, man. Oh, seriously. But Adam, we'd love to do it again soon and dive into even more, man, but it's good to have you here, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you, bro.
That's Adam Ottavino on R2C2.